Welcome to this edition of Total Health with Dr. Kate. This is my podcast where I'm exploring all aspects of health, wellness, and human consciousness. For those new to the podcast, I'm Dr. Arlen Cage. I'm a naturopathic physician. I'm trained in multiple systems of natural healing using many different natural healing modalities. And if you're interested, you can find my full biography on the biography link of my website, which is www.drcagesays.org. That's the abbreviation for doctor, drcagesays.org. Quick little promotional for my business. There's been a new report by CNN and other news agencies that the waiting time to get in and see a doctor can range from about a week up to more than 2 or 3 months. The actual time depends on the category of medical specialty you're trying to get in to see, as well as your geographic location. But these times are typical and getting longer. I found a report recently on a website called Health Leaders that the nationwide average everywhere in the U.S., from the day you pick up the phone to call for an appointment until you actually get in and see a doctor is now 26 days. And that's not the only way. When you finally get in to see the doctor after waiting almost a month, your face-to-face time is usually 10 minutes or less, which is barely enough time to explain what's going on. And when you're finally seen, what you typically get is what the conventional medical system refers to as standard of care. In other words, it's one size fits all medicine. If you have high blood pressure, here's what you get. You get these drugs in this order of operation. And just as with one size fits all clothing, that one size usually doesn't fit anyone, whether it's clothing or healthcare. And while this isn't actually my promotional introduction for my own work, it will tie in with the content of this particular podcast. As you'll see later on, the short story is that I, as along with a lot of other natural practitioners, have adopted a concierge model of healthcare. In this model, a given practitioner will limit the number of people who can be seen in his or her practice, and you pay one fee for all your appointments for the whole year. Exactly what else is included will vary greatly from practitioner to practitioner. It makes it extremely unlikely you will ever have a chance to need a doctor and can't get in. Basically, instead of that 1 month wait time, anything more than 1 to 2 days is uncommon to get in and get seen. So I'm adopting the concierge model in my practice. Many, if not most, of my patients over the years have often been dealing with serious, multiple chronic illnesses. They need to be seen more frequently. So if this is you, please give me a call. My website earlier has my phone number. The full details about my concierge medical plan are available on my website. So today's talk, what is wrong with health insurance companies? As I recently set up my new clinic in Montana, one of the tasks has been to establish an account with one of the local blood testing labs. And when I did, as we always do, I get a price list. And as usual, there's a difference between the cash price if a patient pays for all the labs directly versus a different higher price if the lab bills their insurance company. Now, what I noticed this time, however, is that this difference between the cash price and the insurance billing price is far greater than I've ever seen before when I've ran clinics in other states and used other labs. I believe this is simply a sign of the times as healthcare costs keep escalating out of control. Now, from the point of view of the lab, I kind of understand this. They're happy to take less money in cash now versus hoping to get more later from the insurance company. Then, If the insurance company denies a particular claim, the lab has to turn around and try to collect money from the patient, which they may not always be able to do. What really caught my attention this year is that the average price difference between cash prices and insurance company prices is a factor of 4 to 5 times higher. I found a few random labs that were only 2 to 3 times higher, but some were as much as 8 to 10 times higher of what you could get as a cash price. So as I thought about this, I started wondering about the fact that the lab companies are, in fact, making a profit with those cash prices. So given that, why do health insurance companies overpay for lab tests? That's a question I will call ponder point number one for this podcast. Working in the field of natural and alternative medicine as I do, it is well known that most insurance companies usually don't pay for patients to be seen by natural and alternative practitioners, whether it's naturopathic physicians, chiropractors, acupuncturists, massage therapists, or any type of alternative provider. The rule of thumb is insurance companies don't cover this form of treatment and seldom, if ever, reimburse their clients, i.e. you who are the patients, if you submit a claim with receipts, a super bill, and so on. All a super bill is, for those who are unfamiliar with that term, is a formal medical receipt that lists diagnosis codes, procedure codes, and so on. So the insurance company knows exactly what was done in your healthcare. Let's start with cost. The leading cause of death in the U.S. is still heart disease, a progression that leads to heart attacks known as myocardial infarction. And one of the main therapies when coronary arteries, which lead to the blood, which supply blood to the heart, is a coronary bypass operation. They take the clogged arteries, they borrow a vein or something from some other part of the body, and they plug in a little jumper cable, if you want, they go around where the artery is blocked. Bypass operations can range between $100,000 to $200,000, depending on the complexity of the surgery, how many bypass locations are actually needed, and so forth. Now, that is a lot of money for an insurance company to pay out. It would seem logical that insurance companies would love to have a way of successfully treating these potential heart bypass patients that costs a great deal less. In the case of heart disease, it turns out there are actually quite a few options. These include everything from a healthier eating plan, reducing whole body inflammation, nutritional supplements, herbal medicines, chelation therapy, just to name a few. I personally have seen patients in my practice who were told, you need a bypass operation. It's urgent. And the soonest they could get it scheduled was 2 weeks away. Now, when they came and saw me about the situation, I'd tell them, well, yes, I think I can help, but I need more than 2 weeks. And when the patients were able to reschedule, they usually had great success, and in some cases completely reversed their condition in 6 to 12 months. Average costs for the natural treatments in heart disease cases like this range between $10,000 to $20,000 over the course of a year. And none of it would usually have been covered by insurance companies. I'm really trying hard to understand the point of view of insurance companies and all this. They have a customer who's paying them money under a legally binding contract for coverage for their health conditions. There are two options on the table, let's say, in this hypothetical bypass case. Pay for a cardiac bypass surgery and all this follow-up care for, let's say, an average of $150,000, or pay for a natural treatment protocol for an average of $15,000. Which would I want to pay out if I were the insurance company? I know that if I were an insurance company, $15,000 going out looks a lot better than $150,000 going out when the amount of money that came in was the same. Now, that's just the example from heart disease. Just about every serious condition we have at truly epidemic levels here in our current times has similar options. The conventional medical approach that insurance companies routinely pay for, and natural approaches they don't. And in the vast, vast majority of the cases, it's not every case, the natural approaches are far cheaper and very often produce better and longer lasting results for the patient. You know, diabetes, type 2 diabetes, is the most expensive illness to treat over the lifetime of a patient. Yet type 2 diabetes is entirely preventable and almost always completely reversible under natural care. A variety of methods exists, and they're very effective. It is a difficult illness to treat. It's challenging for the patient to change the lifestyle, which is a big part of it, but it's possible. So let's say in 2 to 3 years, type 2 diabetes could be completely reversed, and the insurance company then stops paying out any money for that patient's health care. So let's call that ponder point number 2. That's something to think about. Why are insurance companies overpaying for healthcare, for procedures that don't work, are guaranteed to mean that they will have to pay out more money? So if you are listening to this and you are an insurance company executive or manager or CEO or board member, I really have to say, what the heck are you thinking? I ask you, insurance company executives, who is really running your show? If you have the potential to make your companies much more profitable, why not do it? If you only pay realistic prices for lab tests and agreeing to cover natural alternative therapies that will be much more effective for your customers and help your company's bottom line financially, why are you not doing it? This current model you're using of what you choose to pay for and how much makes no financial sense at all. Cover natural health care. You'll have much happier customers, and your company will make a lot more money. The first health insurance company out there that actually does this will completely dominate the market within 1 to 2 years. That's my prediction. If you insurance company executives want to prove me wrong on that or prove me right, please go right ahead. Companies that insist on the old model, the current model in use today here in 2023, any companies that insist on sticking to business as usual will be left in the dust, and in the world of big business, we all know what that means. This is a systemic problem across almost all health insurance companies and all states in our country. You insurance companies are routinely and regularly overpaying for lab tests and overpaying for ineffective treatments while bypassing treatment options that are less expensive that simply happen to be in a natural alternative model, which, not so coincidentally, happens to be unpatentable that drug companies and hospital systems can't make huge profits on. So we've established the fact that insurance companies aren't being financially astute about healthcare costs and lab costs. Yet they have some of the best mathematical statisticians in the world working for them in what is called the actuarial field. The only logical conclusion is that either they don't really understand the big picture about health, and they don't understand that they can make more money by promoting natural healthcare, or they are somehow being financially incentivized to not cover alternative healthcare. I wonder how that could come to pass. Call this ponder point number 3. If anyone listening to this podcast happens to know a high-level manager or executive at a health insurance company, or you are a manager or an executive at a health insurance company, please pay attention, pick up the phone, call me, send me an email. If you know the executives, please share this podcast with me. I would really love to have conversation with decision makers at some point in some of these companies. If you are a healthcare and insurance consumer, start asking these hard questions of your insurance company. Email campaigns often can be effective when insurance companies suddenly start getting hundreds or thousands of emails demanding that you cover acupuncture, naturopathic medicine, chiropractic, massage, and so on. They will eventually pay attention. And if they don't pay attention this year, as I said, the first company that implements a standard across the board policy in these matters, within a year, people talk. They're going to say, oh, my insurance company just added this type of natural alternative coverage. And then the next year, the friends of friends and friends are going to switch their company. I saw it back in probably the 1980s when most companies did not cover simple chiropractic care. Well-established profession, been around a long time, a lot of science behind how effective chiropractic can be, for example. And one year at the corporation I was working at the time, the first time one of the three or four companies we had in our menu of choices, one of them started offering chiropractic care. It wasn't really announced, just came out. The people who were already on that plan were thrilled. And the next year, guess what? At least half the other people I know in that company switched companies. And you know what happened? A year after that, all the companies had chiropractic coverage. So it will work. It really will work. And so if anybody doesn't see that and switch and start saving their company's money too, in the future, they'll be left in the dust. Now, if I happen to find an insurance company doing things the right way, I will be happy to share that information in future podcasts. So this is just an informational podcast today, not about anything specific about how to help your health, other than start thinking and asking these big picture questions about health insurance companies and why we are letting statisticians decide what your health care is going to be, what is covered, what isn't. And that just does not make sense in any model on any planet I've ever been to. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to my podcast so you automatically get all the updates and get notified of my next podcast. For the best explanations of all the material I cover in this entire podcast series, please read my book, Heal Your Life, Heal the World. You can find it, a link to buy it anyway, on my website, which is www.drcagesays.org. Heal Your Life, Heal the World is available on all the usual suspect major online booksellers. Thanks for listening, and I hope you tune in to my future podcasts.